welcome to today's Job Seeker broadcast, and our interview topic is that final interview with the president. So you finally made it all the way to the top, and there's just that one final hurdle, and the job is yours. Now, how can you be approaching this important meeting with confidence and the right summary of your qualifications for the position? To help me discuss this very important topic, I'm joined by a special guest co-host, George Dutch, out of Ottawa, Canada. George is one of our 12 preferred counselors featured on our website, and you can see George's picture and bio. Just click preferred counselors on our toolbar. Hello there, George.
Hello once again, John.
It's good to have you with us. George has been helping men and women advance in their careers since 1992, and that's close to a quarter of a century. His career transition company is entitled Job Joy. He hosts his own weekly radio show entitled Career Connection. George also does consulting for Fortune 500 companies, all levels of government agencies, nonprofits, ministry organizations, and small business firms. He's authored two publications, Job Joy and also Job Boot Camp. Now, for the first 30 minutes of our show, George and I will talk about our topic, preparing for the final interview with the president. And then we'll take a short break and begin to answer your job hunting questions, which we receive at the beginning of our show. So, George, let's jump right in and talk about that important interview with the president. And let me jump in and define why we have isolated this one single interview to the level that merits a broadcast. There are three important things you, the listener, need to know about this interview. First, the president is a big picture person. Big picture meaning where is the company going or what big global issues need to be overcome. And so as the president looks at each candidate, the president is thinking, how does this person fit into my large-scale plan? And it's very likely that managers in different departments perhaps are not as knowledgeable or plugged into the president's perspective of what needs doing. Secondly, don't assume that all the qualifications that you have stated in previous interviews, including your resume, have been studied by the president and that the president has a thumbnail summary. That's something you need to do. We'll talk further on that. And lastly, if you are alert when you're asked for this interview, you can avail yourself of a tremendous advantage of some inside coaching. And with that, George, we launch into this topic. Anything else to add, George, as far as definitions as to the importance of this type of interview?
I think the first thing we should clarify, John, is that when you're talking about the president, you're not talking about the president of the United States, although somebody could be mistaken for thinking so based on the way that you've portrayed this position. We're talking about the president of a private sector company or a nonprofit organization. And I think when you're preparing to meet with this person, you need to think strategically, as you said, about the role that this person plays in their organization. So you're really meeting with the position rather than the personality. It's unlikely that you know the personality of this person. And in any case, you should be preparing for dealing with somebody who's holding a certain type of position, which you've already outlined in some detail.
Absolutely, yes. And I think the point you and I are saying is let's not just treat this as just any other manager in the company. There's some extra things that need to be taken into consideration. We're not just blowing off the dust of what was communicated previously. Well, let's jump in to what you and I had prepared to talk about. When the candidate is notified that the company, the organization, wants the candidate to meet with the president, there are some specific things that the candidate should do if they're alert that will make a huge difference in terms of having an advantage for the meeting. Now, the candidate does not know if they are the only finalist or if there are others. It's a little diplomatic there to try to sort that through. If it's in the context of discussion, you could say, are there others that the president will be meeting with for this position, if there is an opportunity to say that. But more important, George, you and I have put together a list of five questions that will prepare the candidate. And, George, these mostly came from you, so why don't you launch us into them?
Sure. I think before you meet with the president of an organization, you're going to that meeting is going to be coordinated by somebody. It might be the HR director. It might be the manager that you'd be reporting to, who has to pass you on to the president for final approval. In any case, somebody will provide the introduction, facilitate the meeting. So you want to find out from them what's their expectation of the meeting. Presumably, similar meetings have been held in the past. They might have a protocol for these types of meetings. So you should ask the question, what's the expectation of the organization or the president for this meeting? Another thing to consider is every organization has a corporate culture of one kind or another. And usually that corporate culture is exemplified at the top. It's either set from the top down or it's exemplified in the person of the president. So you want to find out if there's a key value that this president favors in their personnel. Is there some key value that is representative of the organization?
Okay, and we're still talking about the candidate asking the HR person or the manager that is wanting to schedule this appointment for that information, right?
Correct.
Okay, we're on a roll. Keep going.
Sure. The president, as you said, is the big picture person. That means they're responsible for setting the agenda for the organization, establishing the key corporate goals and objectives and priorities. And they're very knowledgeable in most cases about the kinds of problems and challenges and issues and pressures that get in the way of achieving those goals and priorities. So you want to find out if there's a particular priority at this time in the company's history that the president is concerned about. Is there a particular priority that you should be alerted to that you might want to bring up or address with the president?
Yeah, I think that is very, very important. And I also think that the way the candidate makes that statement or question should be thought through, because they could get tongue-tied trying to say what it is they're trying to ask. So it would be good to work on the phraseology with words that the candidate is used to using.
Yes.
Okay, get some more.
Sure, but they should take their lead from whoever's providing the information, giving them guidance for the meeting.
Yeah.
Then they should think about, they should ask if this position that they've applied for, that they're being interviewed for by the president, what does it pertain to? Which priority in the company does it pertain to? If the company has a particular priority or a goal or a vision, how does this position fit into it? Is it related to change in the company? Is it related to growth in the company? Are there some particular issues or pressures in the business sector that this position is meant to address?
Yeah, and I think this is certainly key, because the whole market share issue, the growth of the organization, or possibly a merger or acquisition, that is on the president's mind. And if this position plays a key part in that future, it may be that the candidate is going to be partnering with the president at some distant time. And so the president is, do we have good chemistry here? Can you and I work together? It wouldn't surprise me if the president were to ask a question like, if we were to hire you for this position, do you have sort of a game plan of how you would roll us out? And that wouldn't surprise me if that question were asked. And the candidate needs to be careful not to answer the question with details, but more say something like, I've just found, President Jones, that joining a new organization, that it takes some time to understand the issues and priorities that each of the key decision makers are facing before any strategic plan is launched. I usually have my own preferences, but I defer those until I get a good, solid understanding and buy-in, and there's good chemistry between myself and the key players. So that's just a sort of a caution there. Anything more, George, on what to ask before going to the meeting?
Well, I think any candidate, if they've been paying attention in the interview, they might have had an interview with a hiring manager. They might have had a series of interviews that have led up to this final interview with the president. For example, they might have had an interview with the manager, but the manager might have also asked them to meet with three or four other specialists or people on his team or peers that he relates with regularly. So you do a kind of 360-degree interview process. And during that time, you're listening, you're talking to these people, you're getting a better picture of the organization and their needs and priorities. You might have had some thoughts about that since you've had some time to process it. So if you've got any ideas about things you'd like to bring up with the president, you should run them by the HR director or the manager that's preparing the interview, that's introducing you to the president. So to make sure that you're not, you're not going off the deep end, you're not doing something that's inappropriate. That if you have any ideas that you want to bring up to the president, run them by somebody else first.
Yes. And in that same context, and this I think, we'll pick this up after the break, George.
Okay, John, we have a short 2-minute break. Today we've been talking about job search tips, but you do a lot more for men and women who are struggling with mid-career issues.
That's right, Evan. We do. We help men and women find that career sweet spot which can give their life meaning and purpose.
Do you really think that anyone, regardless of education, present job, or a reentry homemaker with no current marketplace skills, can really believe that there is something special out there?
Yes, Evan, I believe they can find a fulfilling career and get hired to do it.
You know, John, as I've talked with you about career advancement, I've been thinking about all those thousands of mid-career adults who go back to school to earn a college degree or even an advanced graduate degree, and yet...
Well, yeah, Evan, and yet they don't get hired in their field after they finish the degree, right?
Right. Yeah, it seems so sad.
Well, there is a brighter picture that advanced education can really pay off if only the student took the time to find his or her sweet spot and then choose a degree which complements the career choice.
Boy, that really makes sense. Can we talk more about this during the next break?
Certainly.
If you just tuned in, our Job Seeker Weekly broadcast is sponsored by the IDAC Group, hosted by job search and career advancement expert John Bradley. John has been coaching men and women since the mid-70s to find fulfilling work. I'm Evan Newman. You can join our discussion today by emailing us your job search questions. Those questions received during the live broadcast will be given John's priority for discussion. Our address for questions is jobseeker@idacgroup.com. That's jobseeker@idacgroup.com. John, let's return to our broadcast and pick up where we left off.
And we're back to our broadcast. Our topic is having that, they're preparing for the final interview with the president. And to discuss this, I'm joined by my special guest co-host, George Dutch from Ottawa, Canada. And George is one of our 12 preferred counselors featured on our website. And if you just tuned in, you can see George's picture and bio on our website. George, let's get back to that very last point where we're talking to the person that is scheduling us for the meeting with the president. That's the HR person or the manager. And we need to assume that because we have succeeded in the previous interviews, that that very person we're talking to is on our side, almost to say that that person wants us to win. They've put us through their gauntlet, and we've come out on top. And so now they want the president to put the stamp of approval. And so assuming that, it would be very appropriate to say, I'm really looking forward to this appointment. Is there anything special or unique that I should know so I can be successful in this appointment? And you're leaving it wide open. This would be sort of the final thing to ask. And it might be something like, well, president's hobby is sailing, and if you've got any sailing background, it would be a big plus. Well, that's a good starting point for conversation, anything like that. Okay, George, let's turn the corner now and discuss how to prepare for the interview. What should our candidate do now different from the preparation process for a previous interview? Can you help us there?
Well, I think you raised this at the beginning of the show when you reminded people that the president hasn't been privy to the previous interviews, so don't assume that they are knowledgeable about your resume, your career history, your skill set. They may not have had the time or the inclination to study your candidacy, so you're really starting from scratch there.
And I agree on that, yes. And that means, though, that you're not just going to recite all the tremendous accolades of your past. You maybe want to boil things down to four or maybe five assets that you have learned are really key to demonstrate your capability to meet and exceed the expectations of this position. And you've learned that just from your previous interviews. And therefore, you don't want to cite a laundry list of everything. You just want to zero in on those five traits. And you might even say that, something to the effect, well, I've benefited from my past interviews and I've learned from those that these appear to be the five things that your managers tell me are the most positive as far as qualifying me to not only meet the expectations of this position, but to exceed them. That does take careful review. It's not just something that our listeners are going to be able to do right off the top of the head. Okay, how about some more pointers?
Sure. Again, I think you want to review the key issues that you learned from the previous interviews. You want to verify your understanding of their expectation for this position. You might just clarify with the president that your understanding from the previous interviews is that if they were to hire you, your top priority in the job would be XYZ, or if they were to hire you, you understand that what they want from you in terms of deliverables in the next 6 to 12 months is XYZ. Just verify your understanding of their expectation.
Did you say Z?
I did.
Ah, that must be Canadian for Z.
That gives it away, doesn't it?
I'm teasing you. Okay, now we have a last point here, and George, this was one that you have encountered quite a few times in just the last couple years. I have not encountered it as much, but it is certainly a very key one, and that's that the president might be the first one to discuss the salary compensation issue. Tell us how that's come up in your counseling of your clients.
Well, it's come up in two respects. It's quite, in my experience, it's quite common in the last 2 years for the president to discuss salary and compensation, especially with senior sales professionals. If the company's core business is selling a particular product or service or portfolio of products or services, the president tends to have a lot of oversight and control over that process and the budgets involved with the sales and marketing of the product and service. And part of that is hiring a senior sales professional. So in my experience, they've been very involved in the compensation negotiations with candidates. The other one is that we've had a recession since 2008. There's been a downturn in the economy. Things are picking up again, thank goodness. But there was a lot of downward pressure on salaries, on budgets over the last 4 or 5 years. And that has also showed up in negotiations with candidates. And if, in medium-sized companies, 200 to 500 people, and sometimes larger, the president often takes has some authority over salaries and will, in some cases, negotiate compensation. So I think candidates need to be prepared for that.
Yes, and we have certainly talked about the whole process of negotiating after a person gets the offer. And the caution here is you don't want to discuss dollars and your expectation of dollars until after you get the offer. So worst case scenario is that you provide a range of what salary surveys say about a position and that you're comfortable with that range, as opposed to saying, well, I need X dollars, because that could be the single thing that would eliminate you. Now, in preparing for an interview like this, we're talking about all the positive things. There are going to be some pitfalls. There are going to be some things where a person can fall off the deep end, and we want to alert our listener to that. George, take us there.
These are things you're suggesting they don't do in this.
Don't do, yes.
Yeah. I think it's natural in a situation like this when you're meeting the president that you're going to be nervous, feeling some nervousness, excitement. And there might be a tendency to talk too much, and I think you need to be aware of that and to, again, spend time listening. You know, we coach our clients, John, to ask questions and to listen, think about the answers that they get. This is important in an interview at any stage, and I think it's particularly important here is don't talk too much.
And, George, this just came to mind on this particular thing. I think you're right on, spot on with this. We have not previously talked about this. It just popped in my head. But would you say that the meeting with the president is more conceptual or more factual in nature in terms of the type of information to be conveyed? Is the president going to be looking more for documentation of what the person has done and can do, or is the person looking more to try to understand how you think and how you would fit the work culture and how you would stand up to pressure and some of the challenges the company is facing? What do you think on that?
I think it's, in most cases, you know, again, it's difficult to generalize or universalize every situation, but in general, I would suggest that it's probably the second orientation that you identified there. That again, they're thinking strategically. They've verifying your skill set. That they're leaving that to the manager or the people that have interviewed you previously. They've verified or validated your skill set. It's pretty clear that you can do the job. That's not the question here. It's how you do the job that the president might be interested in. They want to make sure that how you do the job, your style of working,
how you fit in,
harmonizes, right, all that kind of thing, harmonizes with their corporate culture and with the president's priorities and their vision for the company.
Yeah.
And so they're really evaluating soft skills rather than hard skills.
Yes, yes, excellent. Yeah, I think that would be good terminology. We're looking for the soft skills or emphasize the soft skills. And clearly, if the candidate can make positive comments regarding meetings or information derived from individuals in the company, that shows that they've already started to engage the organization to the point where they've been able to acquire that information. Well, let me hit on a second don't do, and that is let's not be too familiar in the meeting. I recommend that it's Mr. or Ms. Jones or Mr. or Ms. President, and then let that president say, hey, it's Pat, and they'll tell you if they want to be on a first-name basis. Assuming the familiar can go in a lot of different directions, especially if the president has a doctorate, that's always a sensitive thing, or if the person is a highly esteemed individual in their field and they're used to receiving a lot of admiration and so on, they might get their feathers ruffled if you don't come in on the low bar and work your way up. Any other thought on that, George?
Again, I think it's important to address the position rather than the person or the personality, at least at the beginning of the interview. Some familiarity, some rapport might develop over the course of the interview, but at least initially try to keep things somewhat formal or semi-formal.
Yeah, and then what about, still on this don't do, what if a person wants a flex schedule or they would like to do some of their work at home online? Is this a good time to bring it up?
No, these are not details that should be brought up with the president.
Why not?
Well, they're not strategic in nature, first of all, and the president's priority is strategic responsibility for the company.
Yeah, excellent. We'll pick this up after the break, George. Thanks.
We're taking a short 2-minute break to ask John Bradley some questions about pursuing an advanced degree as a strategic step to a better job. John, in our last break, you suggested that more education can be a curse as well as a blessing.
That's right, Evan. If a person chooses more education to acquire skills they don't have...
You mean innate skills they don't have.
Right. Someone who thinks they can gain hardwiring skills through education, well, I'm sad to say that for this person, there will be limited career success.
So give us the positive side of the coin.
Well, the good side is that by choosing wisely, that is, the right career, an advanced degree can work wonders and even help the person get hired with the employer of their choice.
Well, that sounds encouraging. And I know you have more on this subject, like how does one know if a new career is really right for them and worth all that additional education?
That's right, Evan. We can discuss that on our next break, how to know for sure, for sure.
Thanks, John. If you just tuned in, our Job Seeker Weekly broadcast is sponsored by the IDAC Group, hosted by job search and career advancement expert John Bradley. John has been coaching men and women since the mid-70s to find fulfilling work. I'm Evan Newman. You can join our discussion today by emailing us your job search questions. Those questions received during the live broadcast will be given John's priority for discussion. Our address for questions is jobseeker@idacgroup.com. That's jobseeker@idacgroup.com. John, let's go back to our broadcast.
Our broadcast today is talking about that final interview with the president to get that dream job, and we're just finishing up a really enlightened discussion. And to help me with this is job search expert and coach George Dutch from Ottawa, Canada. And George is one of our 12 preferred counselors featured on our website. And if you just tuned in, you can see George's picture and bio. Just click on our website, Preferred Counselors. George, we're finishing up on the do's and don'ts, and we've certainly just crammed a tremendous amount of very, very important tips and principles. But then we get to the close of the interview, the close of the meeting, which is a very important part. We've had a nice interview. We're done. The president is starting to rise out of his or her chair, signaling to you this meeting's over. How do you recommend we close this meeting to the advantage of the job seeker?
Yeah, that's a good question. Do you want to address it now, John, or should we wait closer to the end of the program, which would be a natural point on which to deal with this issue? Because I've got questions here. We can deal with those as well.
Yeah, well, we have questions that were sent in to us from job seekers, but what I'm talking about is the actual close, which finishes our discussion on the topic. Let me just touch on these, and maybe you can add on. One closing comment that I suggest is to say, Mr. President or Pat, I really appreciated this meeting. This has just been very refreshing, and the more I meet with people in your company, the more positive I am. And this meeting has been another opportunity to advance. I'm just wondering, what do you see as the next step in terms of my candidacy for the position of IT director? So that's your close. What's the next step? What's the president planning to do? And it's at that time that you may find if there are other people to be interviewed. Another question would be, Mr. President, after our discussion and all the information has been reviewed, do you have an idea of when the decision would be made? Because I'm very eager, looking forward to the position, and I just would like to sort of line up with what the schedule is that you and your managers are mapping out. So there's some kind of closure that tells you what the next step. The worst thing would be is if the employer says, well, thanks, we'll let you know, and that could be 3 months later or 3 days. You just don't know. And if you keep calling in to find out, then it'll count against you. You'll be a pest. You'll be bothering them. Now, if you do get sort of a non-committal answer, well, we're reviewing, and we have a couple of meetings, and we should have a pretty good idea within the next week, then I would suggest you come back with, well, today is the 7th, and a week from now would be the 14th. Would it be appropriate to call you back if someone hasn't contacted me before the 14th? You're getting permission to contact back, and that's what you write on your thank you note. You want a handwritten thank you note after the meeting, address to the president, and you want to say something like, thank you for the opportunity to meet, and I'm looking forward to further communication about the position, and thank you that I can call back if I haven't heard from you on the, before the 14th. So that sort of pulls it together. Any other closing comments on this, George, before we go to the questions?
Yeah. I think that's excellent advice. I often coach my clients that these details should be addressed early in previous interviews. You want to know when they plan to fill the position, when they plan to call you to let you know if you're the successful candidate or not, and who will call you. So when you meet with the president, you can give him or her that time frame. You can say, my understanding is that you plan to fill this position by November 1st. Somebody will contact me if I'm successful by October 10th. Is that your understanding of the time frame?
There you go. Yeah, that certainly would be an acceptable close because, again, the whole principle here is you're trying to get some kind of commitment of how are you doing in the priority of the person you're talking to scale of acceptable, not acceptable. And when somebody really likes you, they move fast, or hopefully they move fast, and they say, I am really positive. I'm going to be recommending to my committee that they extend to you an offer. Boy, those are the words you want to hear. If you're getting less than that, then it's possible that there are other candidates they still have to talk to. George, how about we move to some job seeker questions that we've received? Have you got one there for us?
Yes, this one is somewhat related to the topic, or at least we can leverage it into our topic. This is Phil in Knoxville in Tennessee. He says, I have been a consultant for over 15 years. The pay is good, but I am bored. I can get interviews, but most employers are afraid of my independence. What do I do? First of all, let me ask you, John, I run into consultants a lot in my practice. I work with many of them. And, you know, they are often very intelligent, articulate, competent people. Many of them don't have any problems getting interviews. But if somebody like Phil was to meet with the president of a company, I don't think he should portray any boredom or give any hint that he's bored with his consulting role. And in my experience, I'm not sure that presidents or even managers are intimidated by people who give off an air of independence. Often in some corporate cultures, it's highly valued. They're really focused, especially the president, is really focused on what's the value that you can bring to this organization. You know, what's in it for my organization? In the same way that the candidate is thinking, what's in it for me if I take this job? The president is thinking, what's in it for this organization if we hire you? So
yeah.
I'm not sure that people are afraid of a person's independence. What's your take on that?
Well, I'm going with what Phil has said to us, and I have experienced feedback from clients who are consultants where there's a, concern. You have been footloose and fancy free. You've had control of your own schedule. You can get up when you want. If you don't feel like working today, nobody's going to bother you. And you've been living that way for 10, 15 years. You come to work for us. You're going to show up. You're going to wear a certain type of clothing. Your business card is going to look like the rest of us. You're going to be required to come to staff meetings and executive meetings. You are going to have to live within a budget. When you travel, you cannot go first class. You must stay at these types of hotels at this per diem rate. Your meals cannot exceed X dollars. I mean, these are some boundaries, and there's some constraints. Now, hopefully Phil has thought through all of that, and it's even possible Phil is being a little diplomatic when he says, I'm bored. Maybe Phil has been a consultant, but it's not doing so well right now, and he's a little embarrassed to say, I'm not making the kind of money I want to make. My alternative in this would be to head this thing off at the pass before it even becomes a concern or a possibility, and that is that Phil needs to demonstrate in his communication how his self-discipline has enabled him to succeed, and that when he sets his mind to a goal, he is able to live within the constraints of that goal, get the project done on time and on budget, and that one of the things that has made him successful as a consultant is his ability to make his boss happy, to exceed the boss's expectations, and of course the boss is the person he's consulting for, but even use that word, boss, so that the employer that's interviewing Phil is hearing that, he is used to submitting to authority. He's not just a cowboy out there, and if he doesn't like what he's doing, he just up and quits. So I would say that would if we're looking for some, quote, silver bullet here or some major principle, that would be how I would approach things, and hopefully that will help Phil's success as he is getting the interviews and moving along. Just focus on that very good trait of self-discipline. Everyone admits that self-discipline is one of the keys to productivity in any job. And that means adherence to schedule, adherence to budgets, adherence to protocol and relationships, and on and on. So that would be mine. You have any other thoughts on that?
I think that's excellent advice. It underscores for me the importance of preparing for interviews, because Phil says he can get interviews, but obviously he's not getting job offers. So there's a disconnect or a gap between getting the interview and closing the deal, getting a job offer. His rationale is they're afraid of his independence. I'm not sure about that. But what I do know is that Phil and 99% of the population can benefit from interview coaching, because by getting some interview coaching, they can discuss strategy, which is what you've just outlined, a strategy for Phil. But they can also learn and practice effective tactics that will help them demonstrate what they are presenting strategically, demonstrate how they can perform or implement different kinds of strategies and help the company reach its corporate goals and overcome its problems and challenges and issues. In this very competitive job market, I think it's very important to prepare for interviews, whether it's at the initial screening level with a recruiter or a lower level HR clerk, or with the hiring manager, or with the president. Interviews require preparation.
A friend of ours couldn't underscore that even more, and that's Linda Baugh.
We're taking a short two-minute break at the final quarter of our show to ask John Bradley about the wisdom of pursuing an advanced degree as a strategic step to a better job. John, in our last break, you left us hanging with the statement that we could know the right career for sure, for sure. Those were your very words, that we could know if a future career direction is right and worth any investment of more education.
Right, Evan. Those were my very words. You can know the right career for sure, for sure.
Okay, so how does one know?
Well, let's think about house hunting. You are meeting with a realtor and asking that person to help you find the ideal home that has, say, 3 bedrooms, a good neighborhood, and so on. The realtor does a computer search and finds 5 houses for sale which fit your preferences.
Okay, I'm with you so far.
Well, here you have the pictures, and on the computer you can take a virtual tour of each house. Are you ready to make a decision to buy that one?
Well, no, I'm not ready. Virtual reality is good for a start, but I need something more tangible. I mean, I want to see the house. I want to walk in the rooms, look at the backyard.
You mean you want to walk through the house before you buy it, right?
Right.
Well, that is the same approach to selecting your ideal career. You want to meet the person who has your job.
You mean meet face-to-face?
Yes, face-to-face at the job site, not over coffee. To make a confident decision, you need to see, feel, touch, taste, hear, smell, talk, and finally dream. then you will know for sure, for sure.
So where are you going to find that person? I don't know all the people employed out there in 50 states.
Well, Evan, because this step of career validation is so important, our mid-career advancement services provide that link for our clients to find that person in their city who represents each recommended career.
So the hopeful career seeker can know for sure, for sure.
Yes, he and she can know for sure, for sure.
Well, John, this has been a most interesting journey.
Thanks, Evan.
I want to encourage any of you who are feeling the stress of a dead-end job to go to our website, www.idacgroup.com, and make contact with one of our preferred counselors. Each of these seasoned men and women are professionals at helping you discover your wiring. You will see the reference, Preferred Counselors, at the top of our toolbar. John, we still have the last quarter of your show. Let's return.
Let's do it.
If you just tuned in, our Job Seeker Weekly broadcast is sponsored by the IDAC Group, hosted by job search and career advancement expert John Bradley. John has been coaching men and women since the mid-70s to find fulfilling work. I'm Evan Newman. And now, John, let's return to the final quarter of our show.
And here we are at our final quarter, and we are answering job seeker questions that we have received. And my co-host today is George Dutch from Ottawa, Canada. And George is one of our 12 preferred counselors featured on our website. George, we just finished talking about Phil in Knoxville's career seeker question. Have you got another one for us?
I do. I have another one that I think we'll find very challenging and stimulating. But before I get to that one, let me just say that I hope Daniel in Portland is listening to this broadcast and listening to what you have to say with Evan in the breaks, because he says, I am a college student in my second year. I have lost my motivation for attending classes since I do not have a career in mind. How can I pursue a career without a college degree? I feel like I am caught in a trap. And I think you answered Daniel's questions during the break with your discussion with Evan about degrees and how you can deal with this education issue.
Absolutely, yes. For some reason, our office gets this type of query very, very often. And when I talk to college administrators, I find that they are so they're overwhelmed with the fact that students are seeking, but then when they try to provide specific guidance, there's a pushback. And so the student is saying, wait a minute, why am I going in debt to get a degree when I don't really know what I want? When the school comes forward and says, here, we'll help you choose a logical direction for your career. Well, I'm busy right now. I'm not sure I have time. So specifically in Daniel's case, I think it's a huge step that Daniel even has stepped forward to admit that he's caught in this trap, and to get out of the trap, priority one is to get that career direction. It is not going to happen just by taking classes on a campus. And we want such a bond with that new career that the drudgery of going to class is just going to seem like the time's just going to fly, because Daniel's now in the pursuit of his future.
Yes, great. I think that's great advice. And if Daniel stepped away to go to the fridge to get something to eat during the break, I hope that he'll remember that this show, he can listen to it again, because it's converted into a podcast and it's available from the Job Seeker tab on the IDAC Group website.
Right. Absolutely, yes. Give us another one, George.
Sure. Here's a real challenge for us. Jared in Carson City. He says, I grew up on our family ranch in Nevada and have known nothing else. My parents are too old to run the place, and I don't want to keep it. What kind of a job can I do? Now, let me propose the following, John. Let's say that Jared goes on a cruise and the cruise ship runs in aground, and he gets marooned on a desert island with the president of a large company in Nevada. And there he is, stuck on that island for a week with this president. He's got the president all to himself. Maybe we could incorporate some of the principles that we've talked about in this show to help Jared. If he got into a situation where he met with the president of a company and he said to him, what kind of a job can I do for you? How could he build rapport and talk to that president so that it might generate some kind of job offer? Any tips for Jared?
Yes, absolutely. That's an excellent analogy because it certainly gives us a very vivid image. Well, first of all, my counsel to Jared would be not to start with what Jared wants, but to start with where that president is, how he sees the economy, how he sees where his company is going, what are some of the hurdles that he is encountering, and asking some of those questions, and then beginning to engage the president in talking about some of these hurdles and problems and issues, which then develops sort of a bond. They're talking about a very important topic to the president, but it is informing Jared of the particular issues that are going on. We don't know if that president is a auto parts distribution company or president of a hospital, but in case the president has some agricultural background, the company is having some product line of an agricultural base or service, now Jared is on some firm ground because Jared has been part of the family ranch. So the counsel to Jared, if we can step aside just for a moment on the marooned island, Jared has two kinds of assets that I would suggest he start with. Number one, he knows the lingo and the people that have to do with agriculture, farming, and ranching. So that's a positive. That's a familiarity. He's been around the block a few times. Secondly, Jared has skills that he has learned on the family farm. Now, how Jared could best apply that is to go to organizations that have that same culture of types of individuals, agricultural-based companies, agricultural-based nonprofits, agricultural-based government agencies. They all talk the same lingo. They all probably came from the same background. And in those organizations, there will be a handful of jobs that Jared will feel comfortable with. That's the way to do on a thumbnail in a more simplified manner. A career planning process, staying within one's own knowledgeable base. Now, clearly, if Jared wanted to up the ante and do it more professionally, he would seek out someone like you and someone like one of our preferred counselors to get professional help in finding a needle in a haystack, that ideal career option that really fits him the best of the best. I don't know that he's going to go sideways if he were to follow the advice of trying to stay within the culture that he has known. What are your thoughts, George?
My thoughts are for him to remember that he's not the most important person in the hiring process. It's the person that has the power to hire him. And in this case, he has exclusive access to a president of a company for a week. This person has all kinds of needs and priorities and problems in his or her life. And what Jared needs to do is ask questions and listen. You know, I remember as a teenager going to my neighbor's doors and knocking on the doors when I needed money and saying, is there anything I can do? Guess what? They always found something for me to do. Dig the garden, cut the grass, paint the house. There was always chores that needed to be done. And I suspect the president has lots of work. And Jared should remember, like many people, that These people can create jobs. In fact, almost 50% of jobs are created for individuals who walk through the door of an organization or meet up with a president. It's amazing how much work needs to be done when the president is actually thinking about it or confronted by the possibility of hiring somebody that could make their life easier. So it could be as simple as he can't get car service on a regular basis. Maybe he needs a full-time driver, somebody that can get up early in the morning, take him to those early morning meetings. Jared spent his life on a farm. He gets up early in the morning. Who knows?
Yeah.
But by talking to this president and finding out what his priorities are, what kinds of problems and pressures and issues and aggravations he has, I'm sure the two of them could come up with something that Jared could do.
Yes, and the key here, just as you said, you went knocking on doors. Jared needs to have that focus that he needs to go, quote, knock on doors, because the majority of jobs are filled, 80% of jobs are filled before they ever get posted on some list. So the initiative of talking with the president, because the president can create jobs, is right there, right in Jared's hand. He needs to take that initiative. By the way, you and I have something in common. That's exactly what I did when I was a kid and needed money. And I bet you and I have some stories there. How about some more job seeker questions?
Okay. Well, here's somebody, Peter, in Los Angeles, who wants to become president of his own company. He says his wife and him are thinking about starting our own business. So he wants to know if this is a good time to start a business in a mall, in a kiosk, maybe selling pies, some kind of deli. So he longs to become the person in charge of his own business, Peter in Los Angeles.
Mm.
Is any time a good time to start a pie deli mall in a kiosk?
Well, you said it earlier, it's all about research, and there are people who have lost their shirt, mortgaged their house to finance a bad deal, throwing good money after bad. Peter must do his homework before launching into this. George, thank you. This has been a great broadcast.
Thanks so much, John.
And so that concludes our Job Seeker broadcast for this week. Our host has been job search and career advancement expert John Bradley. John is president and founder of the IDAC Group. He's been helping mid-career men and women find their sweet spot since 1973. John has authored 4 career advancement books. He led the development team for the premier IDAC Career Match instrument, which has assisted over 30,000 career seekers nationwide. John has personally trained over 600 counselors, college professors, and consultants in career advancement and job search. And he's personally selected 12 of these 600 whom he highlights on his website. These men and women are independent practitioners whom John has personally trained. They're not employees nor affiliated with the IDAC Group, and they've not been paid any fee to be featured. They are good, honest professionals who have gained John's approval over many years of successful practice. I'm Evan Newman, and I invite you to join us next week at this same time for our next live broadcast. Say, do you know someone who is frustrated in their job search? Why not send them a tweet, email, or a Facebook note about our free broadcast? Maybe your friend can learn something which will land them that next job. We invite you to participate in our broadcasts by sending your job search questions during our live broadcast. Those questions received during the live broadcast will receive John's priority attention. Thanks for listening, best wishes, and may God bless you in your job search.